Welcome to Pilgrim Talk Radio. I'm Reverend Lee Johnson. With me, the American Dream, Daryl Kingswood.
No, I'm the American Dream.
Been promoted.
Are you American?
No.
I'm not American. Why would you call him the American Dream? He's not American.
He's dreaming about being American. So go. And Scott Henry, the man with 12-inch pythons. Nice. Welcome.
How do you know?
So.
Stop peeking in the window.
No. No.
And we digress right from the beginning.
Unbelievable.
Things have gone sour.
South.
We also are joined by the man with the plan, Nick.
Nick.
And just in case any of these broadcasts get us in trouble, Greg Van Hollen's been sitting over in the corner being quiet, but he's here, and he is equally responsible and culpable for anything that has been said or done at any time.
I don't recall signing anything.
Now he's talking, so I have verification. There we go. I knew I'd get him to say something.
All right.
That's incriminating.
Yeah.
So how was the weekend, Nick?
You know, the weekend was just crazy. My pet 12-inch python escaped, and I found him outside down the sidewalk 3 feet.
Wow. Man. From 3 feet.
Yeah. We said before that guy's got it going on the weekends.
He does, doesn't
he? It's unbelievable.
Yep.
All right. Anyway.
We have been talking about the Holy Spirit.
Now we're getting down. We're getting serious, right?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we've had our
fun. So we are talking about what we believe when we confess we believe in the Holy Spirit. And we have been talking about how he is co-eternal, co-essential with the Father and the Son. We've talked a little bit about the charismatic movement and the benefit of the fact that the Spirit is given to us. But one of the benefits that's listed here is comfort. That by true faith, he makes me a partaker of Christ. We talked a little bit about that and all his benefits. And he comforts me and shall abide with me forever. One of the things that is, I think, obvious and rampant in our culture is a need for comfort. People are turning every which way they can for comfort. You have more and more people being diagnosed with depressions. You've got people who go to the bottle because they're looking for comfort. You've got people who don't even know where to turn, but are looking for comfort. And that's not just people outside the church, if we're honest. There are a lot of Christians who are without much comfort or are concerned because of their lack of comfort and assurance. And here we have one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit being the comforter. You see that in John 16, for example. So, Reverend Henry, somebody comes to you in search of this comfort. Say, I don't know if I'm a Christian. I'm worried and anxiety and depressed or whatever it might be. How does the Spirit comfort this person? How can you direct them to the comfort
of
the Spirit?
Well, I would direct nobody apart from Scripture. I would always direct them, because the Apostle Paul said in Romans 14, it's through the patience and the comfort of Scripture, or Romans 15, that we have hope.
Mm-hmm.
Hope is given through the Word of God. I think that, you know, as the Apostle Paul speaks about tribulation and trials in our lives, let's go back to to Joseph when he was in prison, and he was going through all the difficulty that he was, and the Scripture says, but God was with him.
Mm.
That was his comfort in his affliction. When the psalmist writes, you read over and over again that God was with me. God is my strength and my comfort and my shield. It's knowing of the presence of God dwelling within you and knowing the promises of God in Scripture given to the believer that brings comfort while you're going through the afflictions and the trials and the difficulties of life. But I think that one big thing that we miss when we go through tribulation is what the Apostle Paul teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." God is the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So the sufferings of Jesus Christ abound in us as the disciples of Jesus Christ, that Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. But we have the comfort of the abiding Spirit dwelling within us, who brings us back to the Scriptures, who then reveals to us the plan of God through the Word of God that brings that patience and comfort and peace and joy to our heart, to know that even in the worst and severest of trials, that God is working all things together for good to those who love Him, that God has a plan, that the suffering is not for nothing. There is a purpose in the sufferings and the trials and the difficulties that we go through, and God comforts us and prepares us for a ministry to comfort other believers who go through the same situation that we go through, with the same comfort with which God comforts us. And that is where you go to find comfort. When you're downcast, the remedy is found in the promises of God. The psalmist, Psalm 42, Psalm 43, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." You can't put your hope in God apart from the promises of God and His Word. You go to the Word, you find that hope, and you have confidence in the promises of God, the God who says He cannot lie, that all that He says will and must come to pass, and that He holds us in the palm of His hands, that even in the most severe trials, nothing, as Jesus said, can ever snatch you from the love of God. Nothing can take you. The Apostle Paul said that height or depth or angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other created thing can separate you from God's love. That's comfort. That's joy through the midst of tribulation and trials and difficulties that we go through in this life as Christians. So back to the Word. Always back to the Word.
And so, Lee, you look at me and you want me to answer that question. Here's what I would do as a pastor. I'd say, take my hand. Let's go talk to my elder brother.
Jesus.
Yeah, because my elder brother, I hope you'll see that he's your elder brother, he'll take us to the Father, the God of all comfort, to the elder brother, the one who came to seek and save the lost. And let's consider the benefit, the blessing that he is, and all the benefits and blessings that we have in him. Let's look to Jesus. We'll look to Christ. Christ is our comfort. We'll listen to our elder brother's instruction and what he taught us about if your problem is worry. Well, let's go to his Sermon on the Mount. Let's hear what he had to say. How does he deal with this very real sinful problem of worry, of anxiety that's choking the life out of you? And he says, look to the Father. Look to the Father. This got ties back into the work of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit testifying with our spirit that we are the children of God. And, you know, just to lose people, I think that's exegetical. Prior to that statement, the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit, Paul says, we cry out, Abba, Father. And so it's always going back to our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, His work on our behalf, what He has done for us to deal with, you know, depression, worry, anxiety, all our fears, everything like that. All the things that are symptomatic of the far greater problem, our sinfulness. And let's talk about the cross. Talk about the demonstration of our Father's love in sending His Son. So that's what I would do. I might take him to the parable of the, what is called the parable of the prodigal son. There are two prodigal sons. The elder brother was a prodigal. He stayed home, but he still was living as a slave under his father's roof. And as an elder brother, he should have went looking. If he really loved the father, he should have went looking for that son who had wandered off, but he didn't.
So he really wasn't a good Samaritan.
Or a good elder brother.
He had hatred in his heart that his brother came back.
Exactly.
So he was like the priest and the Levite who walked on the other side
exactly.
of the road.
Exactly. And so that's what I try to do. I mean, you know, I guess I'm like John MacArthur. The older I get, the more I'm like, the Bible is the Word of God. Our only hope of salvation is in Christ. So if we want to talk about anything, I'm just going to try to get those things in here.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I just plug in Jesus everywhere.
Yeah, I'm just gonna, and that's okay. You know, because Scott's talking about the promises of God. He is the promise. Mm-hmm. And all the promises of God in him, Paul says, they're yes.
And amen.
Yeah. They're answered. There it is. The problem that we face, the fundamental problem we face is diagnosed for us in Scripture.
Yeah.
And that is one of our sin, our rebellion against the true and living God, that we're alienated from him. And so we deal with all the dysfunctional, you know, results of that. That fundamental problem of sin, and the solution is found in Christ,
Christ
and what
alone.
He has done for us.
Yeah, you burdened? You heavy laden?
Come unto
Jesus.
To me. And if you
I'm
have,
the one.
If
I
you
give
got,
you rest.
If you got to crawl, then you crawl. Well, you know what? Coming on your knees is a good idea, right? And you got to cry out for help. Cry out for help, because that's what you need. And he is the only one who can help. He is our helper. Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And so, you know, it's going to Christ. And I, as a pastor, I've seen in pastoral counseling how the message of the cross, to talk about Jesus to people just through the work of the Spirit, just comforts their mm-hmm. souls. It's amazing to watch. Sit in my office and see somebody come in, and they're downcast, and they're worried, and they're just struggling. They're like on the emotional razor's edge. And you just start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You just talk about the love of God, the love of the Father in his Son. And I've seen a transformation in a person's countenance and in their emotional disposition in a half an hour. Talking to one person I remember. And
you're my hero.
No. No, I'm Christ is. I remember talking to one person for 13 minutes. A person came in, and they were overwhelmed. Just, you could tell, they came in, they're distraught.
Mm-hmm.
And for 13 minutes talking to him, I remember, I had a little digital clock, 13 minutes, and then the person said, I'm okay. Well, I got more to say. I'm okay. I can go. I remember another lady came in, and she was overwhelmed and talking about things, and I said, by the way, I just wanted to let you know who just came in and whose life God had worked, his grace, and they're saved. Start talking about how this person had just been converted and had looked to Christ as their Savior. And individual said, came back a little while and said, you know, I came in that day and I was overwhelmed. And then you talked about this and everything just came into perspective. Everything just came into perspective. And that's the reality of God's grace. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Right, because the next question in the Catechism deals with what do we believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church, and has to do with the truth that out of the whole human race, from beginning to the end of the world, the Son of God, by His Spirit and Word, gathers, defends, and preserves for Himself an everlasting unto everlasting life, a chosen community in the unity of the true faith. And that's all I got to say, because I look at the clock on the wall and it says time's up.
We'll be back after this.
Welcome back to Pilgrim Talk Radio. I'm Reverend Lee Johnson with Daryl. Don't even know what to say about
speechless.
It at this point in time.
Hey, leave them speechless. That is it, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so Reverend Kingswood is still here. Reverend Henry is sort of here.
Yeah, I stir feelings
what
in people
that
they don't understand. You're still here.
We'll talk about it later.
Greg Van Hollen's still here.
We'll yes. talk about it later. We'll talk about it now.
Go ahead.
I hope Greg didn't pull off a bank job or something in Omaha, and he was trying to sit quietly over here like isn't the people going to, hey, when did they do that broadcast? He was in Omaha. And he tried to say he wasn't. And then we're all dragged into court, and we have to say, yeah.
Testify.
Yeah.
Testify.
Don't worry. We'll visit in prison.
Thanks.
Prison ministry.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to what we were talking about. Which was the Holy Spirit, and we were beginning to transition here, I think, with Reverend Kingswood's final comments about the Holy Catholic Church, as he read most of question 54. So, maybe I should just start with this question for Reverend Henry. Since we had said in an earlier broadcast that these following questions are all building off of what we believe of the Holy Spirit, well, I'll just ask you, what is the Church? I'll skip that. I was going to add another question, but I think we covered that in another one, so I've skipped it. The Church.
Yeah, it's red right there for you.
It says Holy Catholic Church. Why don't we just go with the first question about Catholic.
The question, what do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? Holy as it's separated.
Okay.
It's a people that's separated unto God. Catholic is universal.
Mm-hmm.
It means that the body of Christ is no longer constrained by any geographical boundaries. It's from north to south, the east and the west. It's the invisible body of Jesus Christ. It's the spiritual body. And the church are those who are called out of this world to be partakers of all the merits and benefits of Jesus Christ. That is the Church of Jesus Christ. And as the answer to question 54 is that out of the whole human race, notice, out of the whole human race. It doesn't say the whole human race, but it says that out of, and that's the calling, that's mm-hmm. the ecclesia, that's the people that are chosen out of the human race from the beginning to the end of the world. So, and I believe that Adam and Eve were part of the Church of Jesus Christ. I believe that by some of the testimony that they had, that Adam was called Eve, the mother of all living, and there was nobody living at the time but Adam and Eve. He believed the promises of God. And Eve demonstrates that she believed that there would be one who would come to give his life to redeem them, because Cain means I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she believed that promise that there would be one who would come that would crush the head of the serpent. So I think that in their actions they believed the word of God. I also think that in God's action towards them, that he takes the, and I believe it's lambs that he slaughters there, and he takes the skins and covers them, clothes them, which is a foreshadow or a signal of the righteousness of Jesus Christ being imputed to his people. And so out of the whole human race from the beginning to the end of the world. When the end is, I don't know. But God has that all in his purpose and plan, that there will be a definite end of the last person born into this world and the last person redeemed into the body of Jesus Christ that God is going to call out for himself. It's by his Spirit and Word. Notice, I love the coordinating conjunction of and that unites them two together. The Spirit and the Word is the means by which God gathers his church. So let me pose a question to you, brothers. Why would we ever want to gather the church, try to gather the church, try to think about gathering the church any other way than the means that God has given to us in his Word and his Spirit? Why would churches do that? Why would we do? See, to me, fundamentally, it just goes to the, it digresses to the point where we just don't believe the Word of God. Because when the Word of God teaches that it's through the power of the Spirit and the Word that creates faith in the heart of the elect individuals that God has given into this world.
Well, let me tell you why you want to do it. Because to do it by the Spirit and the Word isn't popular. And so you can gather a bigger crowd, a bigger following. You can have a greater sense of success and accomplishment by entertaining and giving the people what they want.
So it's not self-fulfilling.
What is
it? Doing it by the Word and the Spirit as God decrees in his Word is not self-fulfilling to the individual.
Well,
you see, so
come on,
that's why
I wouldn't say it outright like that. That would seem like I'm kind of being self-centered. I'm going to rationalize it. I'm going to justify it. I'm going to say it's because I have a love for the lost, and I have a love for the Lord, and I want to reach as many people as I can, and I want to impact lives.
You convinced us.
I want to influence people.
All right.
You know? And so, come on.
The Catechism says it's by his Spirit and his Word. You notice, he gathers them up. As a fisherman, as Jesus said to his disciples, taking them out of the fishing boats, using an analogy, you used to catch fish, and you catch fish by throwing your net and trolling and bringing them in.
Right.
You're going to catch men now.
Yeah.
And
notice,
the net,
when Peter, remember Peter went, he was going to go back to fishing?
Mm-hmm.
And I think
he caught nothing. Till Jesus came.
Yeah, and then Jesus said, you cast that net on the other side of the boat.
Yeah.
Now it's full.
Uh-oh, it's the Lord.
You do it the way I tell you to do it. You do it where I tell you to do it. And there's the issue is when we come back down to it, is we want to do our things our own way. We want to invent our own ministries. We want to be, creative and you know, just show people, just how,
well,
you know,
just going back to the
dynamic we are.
The lessons of grammar that we had when we were kids, the how, the when, the why, the who, and the what.
I never had any of those.
We know. That is all given to us in Scripture. God tells us, and it, right there from the Ten Commandments, who are we to worship? How are we to worship Him? When are we to worship Him? It's all given to us in Scripture, that God gathers His church, those whom He has elected unto salvation. As He told the Apostle Paul, Christ said, I have many elect people in this city. I believe He was talking about the city of Corinth at that time. Paul was going through great difficulties, and the Lord told him to hang in there and keep on, because He had His people in there. Keep preaching. Don't stop preaching. And He says He gathers and He defends them, and He preserves us for Himself. This is the work of God by His Word and His Holy Spirit, and we're not to deviate from that as the church. We're to preach the Word, the whole Word, and nothing but the Word. We're not to go to worship on the Lord's Day and do it our way. We're not to take the Burger King mentality. I'm going to have it my way. It's not our way. It's not about us. It's not about our activities. It's not about our imagination. It's not about the things that we think would work because, you know, after all, we're sincere. It's about what the Lord has declared in His Word. This is how He builds the church. And if it's not built, it simply may be that is the providence of God in this place. It's not going to be built. You know, how do you know? But you cannot deviate from the means that God has given, the method that God has given, which is clearly in His Word. And so we continue to preach, we continue to teach, and pray that God would gather up to Himself an everlasting life, a chosen communion, which is in the unity of true faith, and I am and forever shall remain a living member of this communion. That's what the Catechism says in number 54 regarding the Holy Catholic Church. Now, breaking it down, we can, so lots of aspects there that we can talk about. And this is, phew, I
this
blew
is
it
where.
Over.
All right. So,
all right, I can transition.
It talks about
from
the
that.
Unity of the true faith, Daryl.
Right.
What is the unity of the true faith? What is it talking about here? Our unity. We're talking about the unity that goes from the beginning of the world to the end of the world.
Right. Well, it'd be the unity that we have, the oneness that we have as the body of Christ, with Christ as our head.
Uh-huh. That's what uni is.
And so, and that's what I want to emphasize is that notice it's the Son of God by His Spirit and Word. It's the Son of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's ascended, is seated at the right hand of God the Father, given to the church as head of all things. He is the one who promised, I will build my church. And here the Catechism is saying that basically our faith in the Holy Catholic Church is our faith in Christ, faith in His promise. He's the one who's going to build His church. He's the one who will gather those who are the chosen communion. He's the one defending. He's the one preserving. He does it His
chosen
way.
Chosen communion.
Chosen communion.
Yeah, chosen communion. Who chooses this communion that the Son gathers up?
That the Son, the Father chooses them in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
So, right? From before the foundation of the world, those whom He predestined unto adoption to Himself through His Son, according to His good pleasure.
So the Son is
Ephesians
gathering
chapter
up.
1.
Yeah.
So the Son is gathering up the love gift given to Him by His Father.
So that and the love gift, and there's in the book of Hebrews, quoting from Isaiah chapter 8, let me get there quick. Beautiful statement, and I'll try to read this without weeping, because this is moving. When Jesus says this, here am I and the children whom God has given me. I mean, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Here am I and the children, those whom the Father has given me, those for whom I laid down my life.
Yeah. So
I gathered them together from every tribe, tongue, nation, and people, those whom I've redeemed to God with my blood.
So flip over now to the Isaiah 53 passage.
53 and the suffering servant.
The suffering servant. And that's exactly what Jesus said, the children that you have given to me.
Exactly.
And I've lost none of them.
Right.
He's
exactly.
not going to lose any of them. And through His suffering, His soul was satisfied. Mm-hmm. And the suffering for the work of behalf of the Father those that were given to him, that he would suffer on their behalf.
Right. And so I mention that because hopefully if those who are listening realize that the catechism in its summary of the teaching of God's Word, in its instruction with regards to the fundamental truths of God's Word, the catechism is Christ-centered from beginning to end.
And why is
that's
that?
All about, because Scripture is.
Because Scripture is.
Because Scripture. And you alluded to it from the very beginning, after the fall, God's promise of the seed of the woman. And you remember Christ at the wedding of Cana of Galilee and on the cross. He said to his mother, "Woman,
what does it have to do with me?"
Yeah, what does it have to do with me? "Woman, behold your son." Why did he call her woman? Do you think he might have been reminding her of their destiny together? Woman, seed of the woman, I'm the seed of the woman. I think that's what Jesus was doing, because if you study it, woman was not a common way of addressing your mother. It was, you know, and some try to say, well, it was kind of, you know, kind of impolite, but that's the way it was called. It wasn't. I think Jesus was deliberately, and I think that's why John records that, deliberately reminding her of their destiny together, their divine destiny.
I think even further than that. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I agree. But I think, this is exactly what you're alluding to. It went right back to Genesis 3.
All the way back. That's the whole point.
You're the one.
You're the seed. I'm the seed of the woman.
I'm the seed.
You're the woman.
You're the woman. And this is the promise. And God. And how we know that's true is Simeon in the temple says so.
Yeah.
My eyes have seen your salvation,
exactly,
which you have promised by your Spirit that I would see your salvation.
Exactly.
Behold, you know, the servant of the Lord. Now let me die.
Yeah, and
I've
it comes to it.
Promise.
And what was he waiting for? The consolation of Israel. And that's what we're talking about, the comfort leading into this, the work of Christ through his Word, through his Spirit. Spirit and Word, as Scott has pointed out, to gather in, to defend, to preserve. This is what he is doing for his glory. This is the Father's eternal purpose. These are the things why it's not popular.
Mm-hmm.
Because this makes it seem like it's not about us primarily, but it's about him, and it's about Christ and his glory, and it's about God's story and how we are brought up into that story.
Yeah, I think that we talk. Christ is the star of the show, and in this the Father is glorified.
Yeah.
When Jesus Christ
and
is
it's
exalted.
A one man show.
Yeah. And Jesus and Paul says
that's what I'm
he
talking
has,
about.
He has the
keep
preeminence.
It real, Scott.
He has the preeminence.
If you want
yes.
to gather
all in all,
if you want to gather with saints in the unity of the true faith and hear the power of the Word of God that is preaching Son. The Son of God, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. We do invite you to come down and worship at Heritage Reformed Church, which is meeting in Mission Middle School.
2202 Washington Street,
there
Bellevue.
Find out more
look us up
on heritagercus.com. And until next time, 660 KCRO.